Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki, Sri Giri Govardhan ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Premanande. All glories to their Sama devotees. All glories to their Sama devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, devotees. You know, I am in this camera. Okay. I'm too far. See, I'm almost out of the whole thing. And this one, I don't know. That's probably okay. All right, so, Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, not too far, but a little more. Okay. That's it. You got it. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24. The renunciation of Kardama Muni. Text 27. Aho papachyamananam niraye svayar amangalai kalena bhuyasa nunam prasidantiha Devata, aho papachyamananam, niraye swar amangalai, kalena bhuyasa nunam, Prasidantiha Devata Aho Papachyamananam Niraye Swaira Mangalai Kalena Bhuyasa Nunam Prasidantiha Devata Aho Papachyamananam Niraye Swara Mangalai Kalena Bhuyasa Nunam Prasidantiha Devata Aho. O. Papachamananam. With those being much afflicted. Niraye. In the hellish material entanglement. Svai. Their own. Amangalai. By misdeeds. Kalena Buyasa. After a long time. Nunam. Indeed. Prasidanti. They are pleased. Iha. In this world. Devata. The demigods. Translation. Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This material world is a place for suffering, which is due to the misdeeds of the inhabitants, the conditioned souls themselves. The sufferings are not extraneously imposed upon them. Rather, the conditioned souls create their own suffering by their own acts. In the forest, fire takes place automatically. It is not that someone has to go there and set a fire. Because of friction among various trees, fire occurs automatically. When there's too much heat from the forest fire of this material world, the demigods, including Brahma himself, being harassed, approach the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and appeal to him to alleviate the condition. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. In other words, when the demigods become distressed by the sufferings of the conditioned souls, they approach the Lord to remedy the suffering, and the Personality of Godhead descends. When the Lord descends, all the demigods become enlivened. Therefore, Kardama Muni said, after many, many years of human suffering, all the demigods are now satisfied because Kapila Dev, the incarnation of Godhead, has appeared. Aho papachyamananam. Niraye swayar amangalai, kalena buyasa nunam, prasidantiha devata. Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacade Shatarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrulubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. when second or ten. It's interesting how Srila Prabhupada has translated some words here that, yeah, papachyamanam, pap, I think we're all aware what pap means. Pap means sin. Sin. And here Srila Prabhupada translates it, papachyamananam, with those being much afflicted. Papachyamananam indicates the results of the pap. The pap itself is one thing, the sinful activity or sinful life. It's not just the odd sinful activity, but it is a whole ongoing program of sinful activity, morning, noon, and evening, and in between. Also, it's just a very consistent and, well, just never-ending program of pap, which brings papachyamananam, the results, which is suffering. Yes, within this material world, people are engaged in their different materialistic activities. But essentially, it's a program of suffering. There is much variegatedness. There's much variegatedness in how the conditioned souls carry on and do their different sinful things. There's so much variegatedness. But the end result of it all is that they suffer. Just like we can say, and Prabhupada has given this example, someone is in prison, and when you're in prison, you're in prison. There are different levels of life in prison, but they're all just different levels of being in prison. And even Srila Prabhupada definitely talked about, he actually referred to political prisoners. I don't know if it's always political, but there are definitely prisoners in some prisons who, for whatever reasons, whatever the reasons may be, they get some privileges within the prison. They get privileges even to the point that some of them, Prabhupada mentions, political prisoners in some cases, they have their own cell, and it's as comfortable, more or less, as, at least in some sort of moderate, sort of like middle-class house with, you know, decent furniture. Television is there. A regular supply. Sri Sri Radha Radnath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. You take the opportunity to drink some more water. It's okay. It's enough. Thanks. Yeah. So, and they may have, you know, like a computer supplied, and they can communicate with whoever they like, and many people can actually visit them and enter into their prison cell, which is like a sort of, you know, a moderately nice, typical room in some middle-class house. And friends, relatives, and so on. And they can conduct their business, if they have a business, from within the cell. And the prisoners who are in the ordinary parts, where everyone's just thrown together and it's just very unpleasant, they may become envious. Look at these people, these prisoners. They have special facility, and then so they become envious. But the thing is, and Prabhupada, this is the point that Prabhupada makes, when you're in prison, you're in prison. Even if relative, within the context of the prison, you have relatively better or even much better facility, you're still in prison. So, in this sense here, papachyamananam, those who are afflicted because of their pap, when you're in material life, you're in an afflicted condition. You're in an afflicted condition. Of course, you get the demigods, even up to Lord Brahma and his associates. And again, relative to the general conditions in the material world, they've got it, they're much better off than just the people here on this planet, or what to speak of the animals and other lower species. But those ones, they are in such an extreme minority. The human beings are 400,000 out of 8,400,000 species. So it means they're say, plus or minus, a little less than 5%. That's already a very small group. That's all the human beings, including those who are much worse off than we are, in all sorts of different ways. But the demigods, what percentage? Sometimes Prabhupada would talk about 33 million demigods. You may have heard that figure. I'm sure there's more. I mean, those are the ones who actually manage things. There are more just in terms of residents in those planets. But out of the 400,000 human species, which the demigods fall into and are at the top of, they are in a super extreme minority. And we don't know exactly, but maybe they are 5%, or maybe they're less too, but maybe they're 5% of the 5% of all living entities, species of life. And what 5% of 5% is 1/20th, isn't it? So it's 0.25 of a percent of all the human being. No, wait a minute. Oh, no, of all the living entities. 0.25 of all the living percent of all the living entities are doing, you know, by our standards, relatively quite nicely. It's nothing compared to life in the spiritual world. But the balance, including ourselves, and I don't know how your material life was, but at least in the last some couple of years or something, before I was fortunate enough to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. I can tell you frankly, you know, we could write a book about it, but it would be too much like a horror story. Oh, really? No joking. There was a lot of suffering. There was too much suffering. Just too much. Yeah. So therefore, papachyamanana, that not just that they're sinful, but just inherently present, naturally present, when you are involved in pap, like a solid program of pap, regular sinful activities on a daily basis, ongoing, then papachyamanana, you get the reactions. And that means great suffering. In fact, Srila Prabhupada then, papachyamananam niraye swayar. Niraye swayar. Niraye is translated in the hellish material entanglement. So all this engagement in sinful activity, the people are trying to enjoy in this way and that, but it simply ends up naturally and unavoidably, it ends up in their being much afflicted. It's just shocking, and even a lot more than shocking. We have descriptions in the last chapter of the fifth canto, well worth reading from time to time, to just remind us a bit what goes on in material life. But, if one happens to glance through the Garuda Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is so authoritative, totally authoritative. Garuda Purana, it's also Purana. It's also one of the 18 Puranas. But the descriptions there of what goes on, let us just say that the last chapter of the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is a glimpse. It's just a glimpse. It's not like, you know, full darshan. The full darshan. I mean, we use the term darshan in a religious, spiritual context. That's how we use it. But the word is just used in terms of just having a look at anything, actually. Yeah. The word is used very freely. Darshan. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshana. In this material world, there's birth, death, old age, and disease. And therefore, when you're in material life, dukkha, suffering, dosha, fault, anudarshanam, you get that darshan. That's nice to have this darshan. Gosh, we're so fortunate. It's incalculable, actually. So fortunate. But there are many others who are getting different darshans. Dukkha, dosha. Yes, so therefore the situation, what Kardama Muni is referring to here, he is rejoicing because Lord Kapila has appeared. And actually, he is addressing Lord Kapila right now. That's who he's talking to. And it's very interesting the way he puts it. Anyway, just to get back a little bit to the aho papachyamana nam niraye swayar amangalai. It's heavy. Aho is an expression of like, what would you say? Anyway, it's an emotional expression. Here, it's usually pronounced as O. But when it's used, generally the context is not just O. O. But it's more like O. If you know what I mean. It's really like, whoa. It's not like, oh, okay, or something like that. So, I mean, there are a few other places where it's used, and you can see that it's really such an expression of like, wow, oh. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. Uddhava, when he's expressing his concern, how am I going to find someone who can be merciful to me like Krishna was? He says, oh, aho, bakiyam, that one who killed Baki, Bakasura, he was so merciful to me. Oh, where will I find someone now? He's gone, who can be merciful. So anyway, this is the idea here. And I also want, in this regard, wanted to just mention that, you know, we hear about pious and impious activity. We hear about auspicious and inauspicious. We hear about these sort of extremes, good, bad. They're different ends of different scales. So auspicious and inauspicious, I actually remember giving a class here some weeks ago, or might even have been before we came up here. But anyway, just this year, giving a class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and in the purport, well, there was some discussion about auspicious and inauspicious. There have been a couple, actually, but this one was a little back a few months. And Srila Prabhupada made the point that even though we may use, there's this practice of using, and even in Shastra specifically, the words are used, auspicious and inauspicious. Prabhupada made the point that in the material world, everything is inauspicious. It may be that relative to each other, something may be much more auspicious than something else, but on a real, like a complete or absolute scale, even the most auspicious thing within this world on the material level, by absolute standards, is simply inauspicious. It's simply inauspicious. And a source of suffering and pain. So that's there in this verse and in the purport. And of course, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that it's all by our swaya niraye in the hellish material entanglement, swaya amangalai. Swa means like your very own. Swarupa. Anyway, that's okay. But swarupa. Yes, jivera swarupa. Rupa, of course, means form, or more than just form also, like just what you are, you. Rupa can be used in that context. And swa means your very own. Your very own form, or your very, what you are. So, swa, swayar amangalai. Because of your own inauspicious, amangalai, bad activities, which naturally produce only suffering. So in other words, in this material world, people are suffering in this way and that, but they have no one to blame other than themselves at all. Of course, one favorite pastime of the conditioned souls is what they call the blame game. How in so many different types of situations to be able to say that someone else was, it was someone else's fault, whatever it was. You know, particularly in like a work situation where you may lose your position and so on. But in so many situations in life, people like to blame others. They cannot accept responsibility, at least in many cases. Sometimes if you have a look at some of these sort of self-help books, how to improve yourself and, you know, make your life better and be successful, whatever, something like that. In a number of them, I mean, not that I've read many, but a few I've looked through a bit, and in some of them, they make the point that one has to become able to accept responsibility for whatever. And in any situation where you're involved, that means you're at least partially responsible, and you have to be able to accept your part of the responsibility, what to speak of if you're completely responsible. So in this material world, it's very difficult for people to take responsibility. I mean, in many ways, actually, but particularly when bad things happen in their lives. Yeah, I've mentioned before how after the big tsunami, the first one, whenever it was, several years ago, which was just devastated, like parts of Indonesia, even South India, and wherever else. It affected here too. I saw some, a little bit. Anyway, whatever. So that tsunami, many people died. It may have been some hundreds of thousands even, but it was plenty. And I remember being in Johannesburg, we were driving along the road, and there was one of these newspaper little, you know, the things, it's just a smallish type of board with the latest headline on it. And the headline was, Tsunami, : Where was God? ? In other words, it's his fault. Yeah. And, you know, even I've seen in a few situations where we have suggested that some people are suffering certain conditions because of their sinful activities. And I've seen people get really upset that, you know, you shouldn't say that. that they are responsible for their own sufferings. But actually, that's the case. It is the case. In other words, in this world, there is not really such a thing as an innocent victim. There is no such thing, really. Rather, everyone is getting the reactions of their own karma. And therefore, sometimes you may see the statement that in this material world, karma rules. Karma is ruling everything. So anyway, there you go. Niraye swaya amangalai. They're suffering. They're afflicted in their material entanglement, which is hellish, by their own misdeeds. So that's an important point. But then, a nice point, an interesting point, and it's generally, I haven't really seen it expressed in this way, that the demigods, of course, they pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear from time to time. This happens. Like at the beginning of the 10th canto, the demigods went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and Lord Brahma made a sort of telepathic communication with Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And Shiradakshaya Vishnu responded also in that way, so only Lord Brahma heard. But then he relayed the information that the Lord is going to come, because life, it was just getting too bad. It was just getting too bad. And the demigods felt, that's it. We can't deal with it. Only the Lord can. An interesting little detail is they're referring specifically to Kamsa and some of his associates, but particularly Kamsa. And you might think, you know, Kamsa was a king, and a bad, nasty, vicious king. But, you know, the demigod, he's only just a human being living on this middle planet. Why didn't the demigods just come and deal with Kamsa, just wipe him out? But the thing is that Kamsa was so powerful, he had defeated the demigods. There is a name of Kamsa, which means the defeater of Indra. He who defeated Indra. Anyway, that's just by the way. But the thing is that they appealed to the Lord because they felt the situation was out of hand and beyond their capacity to deal with. Here, the way Kardama Muni is putting it is that the demigods have become, well, anyway, in the verse Kardama Muni says the demigods have become pleased with the suffering souls. Prabhupada in the purport says the demigods have become distressed. Anyway, one way or the other, they're feeling favorably, sufficiently about the suffering souls who are suffering hellishly because of their own misdeeds, that they're feeling concerned and therefore appealing to the Lord. Appealing to the Lord. Approaching the Lord to remedy the suffering. It's an interesting perspective that the demigods, seeing how the people in Chatsworth you know, the Bangladesh market, those, the people with the chickens. Anyway, we shouldn't talk about it. Sure. What sort of suffering is going to come their way? So the demigods actually feel compassionate. They actually feel concerned. What is going to happen to these people? Papachyamananam. What is going to come their ways? Oh no. Oh no. Let us give them a chance. Some special intervention. Yeah. So, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead depends. At least it is one factor. There are different factors in what stimulates the Lord to appear. But this is one factor, that the demigods just feel disturbed. They become distressed seeing the suffering of their conditioned souls. Yeah, and knowing that this is unnecessary, and it's just so foolish. It's such a misconception on their part, on the part of the hellishly suffering conditioned souls. It's such a misconception that if we just absorb ourselves in ordinary material life, eat, drink, and so on, and be merry. It's such a misconception that you're going to become happy through that. It's like sometimes, you know, they do these experiments with mice to touch different buttons and different things happen. And they touch one button and some sort of hammer or something comes out and whacks them. And gradually, but they press another button and some piece of cheese comes out. They press a third button, nothing happens. After a while, they get the idea. So they press the cheese button. So, you know, it's just a matter of understanding consequences. Visible consequences to activities performed. But the condition, the average conditioned soul on this planet is in a similar situation, actually, but it's much more complicated, that by doing certain things, I bring upon myself my own suffering. But they don't see it. Because there's a little enjoyment, initial enjoyment in doing that activity. Therefore, they become attached to doing it, even though it brings suffering, which may be much worse than whatever enjoyment they get. So the demigods, seeing this, they become distressed that you don't live like that. You can become happy in this material world, if you learn how to live in devotional service. But if you insist on living like this, you're going to simply bring more and more suffering on yourself. And as sattvic, nice people, they feel bad. They become distressed. And therefore, they appeal to the Lord to appear. And so Prabhupada says, when the Lord descends, all the demigods become enlivened. Therefore, Kardama Muni said, after many, many years of human suffering, all the demigods are now satisfied because Kapila Dev, the incarnation of Godhead, has appeared. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Maharaj. Yes, Prabhu. Loud and clear. We will turn the microphone. It's a directional microphone. Turn it towards you. Oh, that's good.
I just wanted to find out. It says that this material world is a place where suffering moves due to the music is of the inhabitants, the conditioned souls themselves. The sufferings are not extraneously imposed upon them, but the conditioned souls take their own suffering by their own.
Yes, right.
In most of the classes that we hear, it is described that there are three types of suffering that are imposed on the living entities.
That's right.
One is the mind, one is the other living entities, and the other is the
That's right. Well, it's not just the demigods. It's like material nature, which is controlled by the demigods. But carry on, yeah.
In this, from reading this part here, I can understand that this is part of the suffering that is imposed by one's own mind.
You got it.
Yes. So in terms of like the demigods and the other living entities imposing suffering on another entity, is it because of the living entity's karma that they have to suffer it?
Okay. I hope you heard that question. Okay. So, the point is that in the purport, Prabhupada says the sufferings of the suffering conditioned souls are not extraneously imposed upon them, rather they create their own suffering. But now we hear about the three types of suffering, adi bhautik, adi atmak, adi daivik, that sufferings from our own body and mind, right? Sufferings imposed upon us by other living beings, people maybe, or at creatures may harass us, and sufferings from material nature, adi daivik, which is sometimes translated or explained as coming from the demigods or from material nature. So the question is, what is the cause of those? That's the idea?
From
other living entities. All right. So the first point to note is that these three, or some of these three at least, say, they are not sufferings which are just being, as Prabhupada says, extraneously imposed, just from some external source, and it has nothing to do with us. We don't deserve it, in other words. You follow the idea? No, we deserve it. Like even all those people we mentioned who got washed away in the tsunami. Sorry to say, it was their karma. They deserved it somehow. Exactly deserved it, for sure. Now, in this case, if someone attacks you, for example, these things happen. Sometimes people become attacked. So they're doing something sinful by interfering with you, abusing with you. Maybe they kill you even. So they will get bad karma for that, of course. But it's happening to you because of your karma. Yeah. Because generally the understanding would be, because you attacked someone in the past, maybe previous lifetime or whenever, but someone, because you attacked someone in the past, now someone is attacking you. Yeah. And even though now you are apparently innocent, you were just there minding your own business, not doing anything bad, and bang, someone just comes on you and attacks you. Just because we don't know what we did, whenever it was in the past, for which we were due to be treated like that, abusively, just because we can't remember doesn't mean that we didn't do that thing in the past for which now we're getting the proper reward or result. Am I answering your question? Yeah. So, like we said, there are no innocent victims in this world. They don't exist. And there's no extraneous suffering imposed on anyone. That, for example, just because it's someone's karma to develop a very violent nature and therefore enjoy attacking people, and you happen to be one of the people that he attacks, doesn't mean it's just his fault just because he's got violent karma. He's got his violent karma. But you also, because of something or things you did in the past, you deserve to be treated violently. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Jai Satchinandan Prabhu. Blame game. What is the verse number? 5:15. Let me just read it in case they didn't hear it. So in this regard, Jai Satchinandan Prabhu has quoted Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 verse 15. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. In other words, we are responsible. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Thank you very much. That was good. Yeah. Yes.
Why should I then have to suffer for what you already deserve? I should be...
Should be congratulated.
So how do I explain that? Because I could all have these human rights movements. And what's the need for all of that? It's just...
Okay. I don't know if you heard that, but Swarup Damodar Prabhu raised the point that someone could argue. Did you actually hear it?
Yeah.
You didn't hear? Okay. Okay. That someone who's inflicting pain on someone else could try to argue that I'm like a vehicle, a via medium for this person to get the karma that they deserve. So therefore I have no guilt. I should not receive any reaction because I'm just seeing that the Lord's mission is carried out, that everyone gets their karma. But no, still, they are still responsible for what they're doing. That's the point. and there's no justification, then you could possibly extrapolate a stage or maybe two further, that whenever I feel like inflicting pain on someone, I should just do it because the Lord has inspired me. This person needs to get this sort of karma, and I'm feeling, yeah, I want to give it to them. But no, they have to take their reactions. But then you raised an interesting point, an important point. The demigods are seeing that people get their karma in many ways. So are they getting karma because they're inflicting suffering on us? Yamaraj is making sure everyone dies in a certain way at a certain time. So is Yamaraj getting suffering? No. The demigods, as long as they see people get the karmic reactions they actually deserve, they don't take reactions because it's their service to the Lord. However, if they ever make some, mistake or whatever, and they don't give the proper karma, then they get some reaction. You know that story, who was it? Somebody. Who was the one? He was going to be, he somehow or other was in a place where there was some criminals who got arrested, and he got arrested with them. Manduka Muni. And they, they are apparently very bad criminals, so they were sentenced to death. And he was also sentenced to death with them by being speared with some lance or spear or something. So, but then he was saved because at some point, when it was getting close to the time of the execution, someone realized, wait a minute, this is a sage. Yeah, he's not one of the criminals, so he was released. So he went to Yamaraj and complained. Yamaraj, yeah. And Yamaraj told him, well, the thing is, when you were a child, you speared an insect with some, twig or piece of straw or whatever. And so this was your reaction. And Manduka said, no. This is not correct. No, you gave the wrong reaction. And so Yamaraj had to become Vidura, was it? Something like that. Yeah. Huh? Sutra, right. So in other words, they're not just on automatic pilot. They have to think how, they give the reactions. But, if they engage just personally in their own lives, if they engage in sinful activity, they get reactions. Yeah. Is that okay? Right. Right. Yeah, it's a question of authorization. That's an extremely important part of it. But even, these soldiers, like now, Second World War, who knows what was done. I'm sure there's so many. We hear, anyone who's looked into these things, you read about the atrocities of the Japanese and the Germans. Wow. It's hard to find an atrocity done by an American or a Britisher in the histories. But don't doubt that they committed enough atrocities. But as they say, history books are written by the victors. So, but nowadays, like in Iraq and these different places, they're getting called up more, even though they're authorized. But if they do it somehow or other excessively wrongly, then they can and they should. Like the police in America now. Phew. Anyway, what to say about that? But from what we hear, they have done some terrible abuses. And they have to pay the price. Yes.
But then you see that the demigods, they feel distressed when they see the suffering of the living entities. So I was wondering that what should be the mood of the creature, because we have the knowledge that yes, there's no innocent victim, but then we're also supposed to have the compassion. How do you balance that?
Okay, so when we're preaching, we know the people are suffering because of their own misdeeds. And they're not victims. There's no innocent victims. So how do we feel compassion? Well, just like explained here, you know, just as we've read here, they see that these people are caught up in this whole cycle out of their ignorance. And they're causing their own suffering totally unnecessarily. It's completely foolish. So even though they deserve the suffering because of doing their nonsense, but the demigods feel compassionate. I mean, they feel compassionate just because they're suffering anyway. But they're feeling these people need to be delivered from their whole program which causes suffering. And we should also feel like that. We know they deserve what they've got, but we should feel compassionate. This is an eternal servant of Krishna. He or she should be in Goloka Vrindavan, serving Krishna and just really happy. But look how they've put themselves in this self-imposed suffering situation. We must help them. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's nice if we can see like that, because it's true. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Because, yes, it is true. It is their karma. They have to go through something very drastic like that. But when to say it is impossible for the teacher to ascertain. I heard that karma, the teacher needs to know what to say and what not to say. I think that's a very important qualification.
Okay. Yes, Sri Damodar Prabhu is making the point that it's very important for preachers. Even though they know that, you know, like has said here, that there's no innocent victims, but the devotee, the preacher, has to know how to address these aspects, the different aspects of the suffering conditions, suffering situations of the conditioned souls. You know, particularly in the sense of helping people understand situations and how to respond to situations in Krishna, constructive Krishna conscious ways. In other words, we don't just blurt out stuff. You know, we have to be very sensitive. We have to be sensitive to the feelings of the people, actually, at least to some degree. But We've got to be sensitive to think, how can I present the truth in ways which the audience is going to be benefited the most by it. Yeah. Benefited the most. So, means, obviously, so they'll get the idea, but in ways which they're going to then be able to sort of, they can be a basis for their development. Do the demigods have the four defects? Yes. Sometimes more than other times. But, you know, of course there are some who are pure devotees. And generally they're all devotees. But, you know, we're all devotees too, you can say. And we make our blunders from time to time. Phew. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay, devotees, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.